The Art Spot on 97.9 FM and 1360 AM, WCHL.
Hello and welcome to The Art Spot. My name is Jerry Lynn Schulke. I am joined today by members of Voices / Kantari, and along with Sue Klaus-Meyer, the conductor of both Voices and Kantari. Welcome, everybody, for being here. In the studio is, like I said, Sue Klaus-Meyer, also Dale Bailey, who is a singer and soloist, and Adam Dengler, also singer and soloist. So let's start off with Sue. Can you give us some background information on what has brought you to doing what you do?
Oh, well, that's a
profound.
That's a big question.
I know.
Well, I would say I've always loved music and loved being a performer. Mm-hmm. And moved from just being a pianist or enjoying being a pianist to a more encompassing role of working facing the choir. And those piano skills are still good. And my vocal training is very important in rehearsal settings. But we have an organization called Voices that includes both a 120 voice choir, mixed choir, and we do several concerts a year with orchestra or with bigger instrumental ensembles. And then we also have a small select ensemble called Kantari, and they do largely a cappella works, but occasionally some other works with organ or small instrumental ensembles. And, you know, it's just a joy to work with singers, and we have a fine caliber of singers in both groups, and the repertoire for the large group and the small group are somewhat varied, and gives me a lot of opportunity to practice what I love doing, which is conducting and working with singers.
Right. You're an incredible conductor.
Well, thank you.
Just can you explain the progression? So you are a pianist. Did you accompany singers?
I did. And I also have degrees in piano and in music education and conducting. And I did a doctorate at University of Cincinnati in conducting. And spent a year in Amsterdam studying Baroque singing style techniques and I like performing as a soloist, but you know, as I sort of refined what my specific interests were, conducting sort of encompassed all of that.
Absolutely.
So I have an opportunity to sing in many registers and in front of my singers to demonstrate, I hope, healthy vocal technique. And my doctoral cognate was vocal pedagogy, so I think a lot about the voice and how to make a resonant core sound, and how to color the voice, and how to work with blend of different voices to create a beautiful choral tone. And so it's challenging intellectual and physical work. And so, you know, conductors live to be quite old, and I'm planning to continue that tradition.
Rigorous activity
and the mental acuity that's required.
Absolutely.
And, both of these singers that came with me today both have had their stints as conductors and as singers, soloists, choral members. So they know, you know, how challenging it is, how fun it is to be multitasking in front of a group and trying to think and listen and in the now and also four measures ahead.
Yeah, you have to be like thinking ahead, but also in the moment.
Exactly.
It's kind of like an actor, because an actor is like, you know, kind of has to know where they're going, but has to be present.
It is true.
And it just all your, everything's firing.
And like
you know?
Your work as a director, you have to see what's on the stage at that moment, but you have to be thinking, now, where are they going next?
And
you have to have in your mind the ideal of what you want them to look like on the stage, what I want them to sound like, but also have to hear what they actually sound like. And how can I pull them closer to that ideal?
Get them what I want them. Oh, it sounds fascinating. Dale, can you let us know a little bit about what brought you to your singing career?
Well, I was in the sixth grade planning to become a saxophonist. It's something because my first love of music was jazz. I was taught by my grandfather, Bailey, who taught me about Miles Davis when I was 3 and 4 years old. And it was like, my first album I asked for was My Fair Lady. My parents thought I was a very weird kid. Other kids were getting the Beatles. Hey, I was going from Rex Harrison. But anyway. But then my parents divorced and moved to a different town where the band program had already started, and I missed the boat. So I'm not having much money after the divorce. I went to church, and they said, why don't you sing? So I started singing, and my church director took me under a wing as a boy soprano and gave me my first lead in 6 months later in a church musical, and that sort of started me off. And next thing I know, I was getting requests to come and sing for weddings and Boy Scout initiation banquet. And and you know, then the school, and then I went to governor's school, and then college, and became my unofficial minor at UNC. Right. I'm a chemist, as Adam is also, by training.
Right.
But so that's, music has always been my strong background career. And right. now that I'm in my late 50s, I'm transitioning to almost all music.
Nice. So, that's excellent.
So, solo work came is the first thing I actually did, a little choral and then solo work.
Right.
And but my interest has always been in choral music primarily. And I write and sing and do all these things for voice.
There's a, you know, that study that came out recently that says something about people who are happy when they sing in groups. There's that something about that group singing that, you know, it's just voice your spirits. Yes. Yeah, it's true.
Oh, yeah.
Be something, you know, from way back when. That's so true. Adam, what about you? Can you let us know a little bit about your background?
Sure. Well, I first started singing in the Honolulu Boy Choir. I had a friend who was in the choir, and so I was in the fourth grade, and I was a wonderful boy soprano for a couple of years, and we had a, we were a professional group, and they really, I feel like one of those seeing eye dog puppies, like where they're training you to not fidget and not be, be a good dog. Like, we were had all that, you know, stuff. But it always stuck with me. I did band briefly in intermediate school, but I came right back to choir. I was always a much better singer than a French horn player. but did it through, continued with choir through undergraduate. And my degree actually was in chemical engineering, but I always stuck with choir, and I used to do like two choirs at a time and have ridiculous schedules. But it's continued to this day. So I'm doing my graduate degree and a PhD in biomedical engineering at UNC. And while I was doing that, one of my colleagues in chemistry said, "Hey, you know, this is a great community course. You should check it out." And at that point in time, I had taken a break for about a year. But, you know, I always, once I go to a concert, I realize how much I miss it. And then, and then I auditioned for Sue. And it was great.
And she said, "Yes, come on board." Right. So you, just to briefly mention, you guys do have annual auditions.
Yes, we do.
For both voices and cantari.
Yes.
Yeah.
And people can find out about those at our website, voiceschapelhill.com. We're the Chapel Hill Chorus.
Yes, right, exactly.
And, they'll be coming up soon.
Okay, great, great. We're going to be right back. We're talking with members of both Voices and Cantari and Sue Klossmeyer, the conductor. We'll be right back to talk about some upcoming concerts that they have. You're listening to The Art Spot. Hello and welcome back to The Art Spot. We are talking today with members of both Voices and Cantari. It's Chapel Hill's Community Chorus. Is that what it used to be called?
It used to be called Chapel Hill Community Chorus.
Yeah, exactly. I did it right. And then when you came along, you said, "Let's change it." Is that?
Well, just in the past few years, we decided that we needed a title for our group that would be a little more succinct.
Yeah.
And we're not just people from Chapel Hill. We have members from Raleigh and from Cary and from Pittsboro and Hillsboro and Chapel Hill and Carborough. So Voices seem like a better name for us.
Yeah, it is long. Chapel Hill Community Chorus, long to say. So we're going to be talking, you have two upcoming concerts. Voices, the first one is May 30th at Memorial Hall.
Right. Mm-hmm.
It's called A Celebration of Organ and Voice. And you mentioned that there is a guest organist.
Yes, we have... I'm very pleased to have Matthew Brown from Salisbury. He's the director of music at a large Methodist church there, and he's played for a couple of Cantari concerts in the past. He's a fantastic organist, and we're renting a big three-manual organ to be on the stage there in Memorial Hall.
Oh, my gosh.
And so we're looking forward to doing music for organ and choir, and very, very pleased again to have Matthew coming to play for us.
Nice.
He's wonderful.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure. Isn't that interesting how organists, I think there's fewer and fewer of these, right?
Oh, you're right.
And there's fewer organs.
Well, of a monumental size.
That's, yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly.
So it's expensive to have an organ.
You're right. Sure, of course.
And, you know, I'm hopeful that Chapel Hill will, at some point in the near future, have an organ in an auditorium where we can get performances. You know, it's mostly from organs in churches.
Yeah.
But it is very nice to have an organ in an auditorium.
Yeah.
And perhaps the newly renovated Hill Hall will eventually have a nice organ. There are plans for that.
Yeah, that'd be nice. Yeah. I grew up, there was a place called Paramount Theater, which was an old, you know, touring place. Broadway shows would come through or whatever, vaudeville shows. And they had an organ that came up out of the, you know, pit.
Yeah.
Oh, it was huge. It was beautiful. Yeah. Oh.
Well,
but yeah,
about Royal Albert Hall. In
London, right.
It's a grand organ. There, so they can do works that feature organ.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
They don't have to just be sacred works.
Right. That's right. Works, yeah. So. Exactly. Yeah. And so, Dale, are you have a solo in this? Is that correct?
That's true. We four of us who are singing as a quartet.
Mm-hmm.
And Dvorak, when he wrote this, he originally indicated it could be done with small groups of people instead of soloists.
Mm-hmm.
But traditionally, soloists are done, I think.
Right.
And so I chose, of the six parts of a traditional mass, the last part is the Agnus Dei, which I think he just did an incredible job with. It's very melodic, yet has fugal elements as we overlap with in soloist and then the full choir.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll just give you a little taste of the opening of that, which is the tenor.
Okay.
Agnus Dei, quid tollis peccata mundi, miserere nobis, miserere nobis.
Nice.
Yeah, beautiful.
Yeah.
And as Dale was singing a portion of a movement from the Dvorak Mass in D major.
Mm-hmm.
And it's written for organ accompaniment originally, and chorus, and four soloists. And Dvorak premiered it in 1887, and he conducted it. And it was interesting story. It was written for commissioned for the consecration of a new organ in a private chapel in a castle.
Oh.
Owned by a famous architect.
Whoa.
From the Czech Republic, Dvorak.
Right.
And he lived into the 20th century, so he died in 1904.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a big romantic work. He later revisited it and then orchestrated it for full orchestra.
Mm,
but we're doing the organ version. And very beautiful, very romantic.
Mm.
The last movement's a little more chromatic, maybe, than the earlier ones. But as you can see from this little excerpt that Dale sang, it's very lyrical, very sweet, beautiful music.
Yeah, nice. Thank you, Dale, for sharing that. That
was
beautiful. And we also had, you guys also have another concert for Cantare coming up. That is in June 7th, and that is at United Methodist Church on Franklin Street. It's called Lighting the Eternal Flame. Adam, you have a solo in that, I believe.
Well, I'm going to sing an excerpt from it.
Oh, okay.
But this is from one of the composers, Morten Lauritsen, a very popular American choral composer these days, from the Pacific Northwest. And if you've been in high school choir or other choirs, I'm sure you've heard of him or sung some of his work. This is a setting of Sure on the Shining Night, which is kind of a poem about being in nature. And it starts out with this wonderful men's solo. So, all right. Sure on the shining night of starmid shadows round, kindness must watch for me this side the ground. On the shining night, the shining night.
Nice.
Yeah.
Although this is airing in the midday, we're actually taping this in the morning. So that was amazing. You guys could sing this early in the morning.
that excerpt that that Adam sang is accompanied by piano.
Mm-hmm.
And there are two pieces on the program accompanied by piano, and they're both settings of that beautiful poem, Sure on the Shining Night, one by Samuel Barber and that one by Morten Lauritsen. And there are a couple of other pieces by Lauridsen. One extended work, five movement work called Lux Aeterna, and that one's accompanied by organ. Tim Baker is the organist at University United Methodist Church, and he is accompanying that piece on organ.
Nice.
And then there's also the piece that made Morten Lauridsen famous and wealthy, I imagine, is called O Magnum Mysterium, and that's part of that concert, as well as some pieces by Samuel Barber, Sure on the Shining Night, and a set of three songs called Reincarnations. And we open that concert with a piece by a wonderful composer, Stephen Paulus, American composer from Minnesota, called Hymn to the Eternal Flame. And we're going to be joined by a girls' chorus called Sisters Voices.
Oh, yeah,
that
sure.
group is doing very beautiful singing and beautiful concerts here in Chapel Hill area, conducted by Leander Strope. Mm-hmm. So they'll sing with us on that opening piece, Hymn to the Eternal Flame, and then they'll sing a piece on their own later in the program. But we think it's a very special concert of mostly a cappella music, but some pieces accompanied, and a lot of Morten Lauridsen for your serene listening. And as Adam said, Lauridsen has a home off of the Pacific Northwest on a little island. You could tell us about that.
Oh, it's called Waldron Island. It's part of the San Juan Islands, and it's kind of in between Seattle and Vancouver, out in this, it's not Puget Sound, but it's off the side of it. And it's very... This particular island doesn't have power or a water supply.
I'm sure, right.
Nothing.
You have to row there in a boat, right?
Yes, very rustic. But, you know, it's kind of this, there's this wonderful documentary about Lauridsen where they show videos of this retreat, and it's this kind of this this retreat where one imagines that he can be at peace and kind of connect to nature. And,
right.
Yeah, and his music evokes that.
Yeah, absolutely. Right. That's wonderful. I'm jealous. It'd be nice to go out there.
I'm visualizing
quiet time.
Right now.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly. we are talking with Sue Klossmeyer, Dale Bailey, and Adam Dengler. They are all part of two upcoming concerts, one Voices and the other Cantari. We're going to come right back and let you know how you can buy tickets or find out more information about these upcoming concerts. You're listening to The Art Spot. Hello and welcome back to The Art Spot. We are talking about two upcoming concerts with Voices and with Cantari, local choruses here in Chapel Hill. We are joined with Sue Klossmeyer. She is conductor for both choruses, and Dale Bailey and Adam Dengler, both soloists and singers in these groups. We need to find out information about, first of all, the how to buy tickets and more information. We'll come back to some more information about the concerts in particular. But first, let's get some information.
Okay, great. Well, the first concert is a celebration of organ and voice. It's the Voices Concert on Saturday, May 30th at 8 p.m. in Memorial Hall on the UNC campus. And you can get tickets online at our website. That's voiceschapelhill.org or at the door there at Memorial Hall. And the ticket prices are, let's see, I think $20 for that one for adults and $7 for students. Mm-hmm. And that the music on that program includes the Dvorak Mass in D, also a Mass by French composer Vierne that was originally written for two organs, but we're presenting it in the one organ version that was arranged in the 70s. And it also includes portions of a Bach, not Bach, sorry, Brahms motet, very beautiful, and for chorus and organ. And then the second concert that we're talking about today with you, Jerry Lynn, is Lighting the Eternal Flame, which is a Cantari concert, our select ensemble. That's on Sunday, June the 7th at 4 p.m. in the afternoon at University United Methodist Church on Franklin Street. And there are works by Morten Lauridsen and Samuel Barber, and a piece by Stephen Paulus opens the program. And the ticket price for that is $17 for adults and $7 for students. Again, the tickets are available at the door or on our website, which again is voiceschapelhill.org.
Nice. Is there anything that we haven't covered, gentlemen, that you would like to throw in here at the last minute? Any burning desire?
Well, Dale and I are both soloists in a Celebration for Organ and Voice, the Voices concert for the Dvorak Mass in D major.
How would you say that you would encourage people to come out and try to sing with Voices or with Cantari if they are so inclined? Have you had a good experience with these groups?
Absolutely awesome experience, yeah.
Nice.
I've been with in groups with Sue going back to the early 80s. And we actually sang together in a group, John Finson.
Wow.
So we go way back. And so our choral experience, and she went away to get her doctorate. Right. I come back, and next I'm still here. And I've been soloing with this ensemble from the community chorus days, when they were called that, going back to the 90s. And so I found that the experience has been great for the whole community and also for just the general growth of the sound of this group. It's always been an amateur group from the Vain Voices, but we do audition. We do have opportunities to learn if you are still training as a vocalist and want a chance to try. We can do summer chorus, right, Sue? Summer chorus gives you a chance to try it out, and it's a great opportunity coming up soon, I assume.
That's
you
right.
can tell us. And then as you audition, we do re-audition every year to make sure our voices are good. And in Cantari, we do three concerts a year. This year, actually four, because we also did the Always Come with the men. So we had four. I chose not to be in it this fourth one. I just need a little break because I'm working on other music projects. But yeah, I highly recommend if you're interested in singing and want to give it a shot, come in and audition for the summer course, give you your first shot at it, and Sue will automatically figure if you're going to be a great addition for all our groups.
So. Excellent. Excellent. Well, thanks so much for being here, you guys. And that, again, Voices concert on May 30th, a celebration of organ and voice at Memorial Hall. Tickets can be found at voiceschapelhill.org. And Cantari has an upcoming concert on June 7th at United University Methodist Church. Tickets, again, available in advance at voiceschapelhill.org. Thanks so much for being here, you guys.
Thank you.
It's great to see you. You're listening to The Art Spot, and remember, be creative.